Probably had many, huh? Ever had a dream that you could recall that was more significant maybe to you than other dreams? I can recall when somebody told me one time, I think it was a popular thing to say at the time, you know, hey, if you see anything, just tell me. And so somebody told me that. I took him serious. And they were dating somebody. You know, if you see anything, Lord talks to you. Don't hold back. And that would be very untypical for me to hear anything for somebody's relationship. But not in this particular time. And whether it was a dream or a night vision, you know, if you look up the words, vision is a day dream. Not daydreaming, though. And so I had a dream. The Lord spoke to me, and I communicated with this individual and said, I need to talk with you. And I shared what the Lord showed me, and I was done with it. Released it. One other time that I can recall, the Lord gave me a dream, and I held it. And then when I was in the midst of a confrontation with somebody that the dream was about, I told him the dream. Thankfully, within 48 hours, there was a turn. Because it was a caution, it was a warning. And so there was a turn. There's actually a scripture that says, with much business or busyness, there are dreams. If you ever worked on a project, went to bed, and continued working on the project? Sure. We jokingly laugh at, you know, referencing that the cause of a dream is from late night pepperoni pizza. And who knows why? Some of the, you know, reason for thought activity, brain activity, you know, in the nighttime hours. But I was in an early morning devotions a couple of weeks ago. And in my devotion, as I was reading, I came out of it with a thought from what I was reading about, in this particular sense, about somebody having dreams. Let's go to the Word of God. Okay, there's plenty in the Word of God that speaks about it, and I want to talk to you about that. I didn't put the chapter down. I can't help you. Okay, but I can read what I printed off, okay? It might be chapter 20 at verse 1. Genesis. Okay. It's the story of where Abraham told his wife Sarah, look, if anybody asks you, just tell them you're my sister. Don't tell them you're my wife, because they'll kill me to have you. Okay? And so this is where the scenario is. And Abraham journeyed from thence toward the south country and dwelled between Kadesh and Shur and sojourned in Gerar. Abraham said of Sarah his wife, she is my sister. And Abimelech, king of Gerar, sent and took Sarah. But God came to Abimelech in a dream by night and said to him, "Behold, thou art but a dead man, for the woman which thou hast taken, for she is a man's wife." But Abimelech had not come near her, and he said, "Lord, wilt thou slay also a righteous nation?" Said he, meaning Abraham, said he not unto me, "She is my sister"? And she even herself said, "He is my brother. In the integrity of my heart and the innocency of my hands have I done this." And God said unto him in a dream, "Yea, I know that thou didst this in the integrity of thine heart, for I also withheld thee from sinning against me. Therefore, suffered I thee not to touch her. Now, therefore, restore the man his wife, for he is a prophet, and he shall pray for thee that thou shalt live. And if thou restore her not, know thou that thou shalt surely die, thou and all that are thine." We've just gone from dream to nightmare. Therefore Abimelech rose early in the morning and called all his servants and told all these things in their ears, and the men were sore afraid, and corrective action was pursued. We read that God went to him in a dream. I don't know altogether what that means. A man goes to bed at night, he goes to sleep, and all of a sudden he starts dreaming. It doesn't say that that there was a manifestation of God through the image of an angel there in his room, but the Lord visited him and the Lord spoke to him in his dream. Now, for the most part, we consider our own dreams and we wake up and we shake our head and think, "Whoo, that was just a dream." And we go on with life. Whew, gotta shake that. Okay, it was just a dream. It was just a dream. It was just a dream. Well, Abimelech rose up in the morning and he didn't shake himself. He didn't say, "Man, what? That pepperoni pizza. I knew it. I should not have eaten." No, he immediately begins to take corrective action of the direction that he had been headed. And as far as he is concerned, he'd had a visitation from God in a dream. It was reading here that I came away from this considering some situations that I'm aware of where I know that individuals have taken their own direction, and those close to them and those that love them have tried to somehow be an influence in that choice of direction and seemingly to get nowhere. Well, for whatever reason, when I came out of this reading, I began to pray, "God, give him a dream. Give him a dream. Give him the dream that would cause them to have seen and heard from you and bring a corrective direction in their own life." It was the reading of the word that gave me faith to pray that. I don't have precedent for it, except that it's there over and over and over again where God has visited people. in such a way they could not just, oh, that must have been a fleeting thought. All right? Genesis 28 and 2. Now Jacob, Isaac instructed his son Jacob just as his father Abraham instructed him and said, arise, go to Padanaram, to the house of Bethuel, thy mother's father. Take thee a wife from thence of the daughters of Laban, thy mother's brother. And that Jacob obeyed his father and his mother and was gone to Padanaram. If you have a better way to pronounce that, more power to you. And Jacob went out from Beersheba and went toward Haran. He lighted upon a certain place and tarried there all night because the sun was set, and took the stones of that place and put for them for pillows and laid down in that place to sleep. Now, who's Jacob? Jacob was the son of Isaac. Jacob was the one that between he and his mother deceived his father, deceived his brother, seemed to be constantly looking for ways to benefit himself. Okay. The scriptures calls him a supplanter, a deceiver. You know, we all have a personality type. Well, there you go. Jacob, the deceiver, the planter. But isn't it interesting that God had a long-term plan for this little deceiver? And he knows the time clock of everything. And so he watched him grow up as a child, and he watched him go through his teenage years, and he watched him enter this season of life, waiting, waiting, waiting. Oh, that Jacob. Oh, you know, when you read about his attitude, you probably wouldn't want your kids hanging around with him. But now he's reaching marrying age, and father says, you know, don't take a wife from here. Go to your uncle's house. Yeah, I'm going to say it. Get one of your cousins. And so he's just en route to go get him a bride. He just lays down like any other night, puts a rock down there for a pillow, if you can imagine that. And he goes to sleep. And he dreamed. Behold, a ladder set up on the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven. And behold, the angels of God ascending and descending on it. Behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham, thy father, the God of Isaac. The land wherein thou liest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed. The writing is different here. The verbiage is a little different here. All it says is that this man laid down and he began to dream. And in his dream, these things begin to transpire. He's seeing the Lord talking to him and telling him these things. He's giving him promises in his dream. But we have to answer the question, is this guy just having a dream? Is there really something transpiring here? Can you really stand on the promises of God when they came to you in a dream? Huh. It doesn't say anything more here than this is a man dreaming. He's dreaming and said, I am the... let me skip down. Thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth. And thou shalt spread abroad to the west and to the east and to the north and to the south. And in thee and in thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Now we have stood upon this word for years, right? Generations upon generations that God was passing on the promise of Abraham to his son. But we're just reading the context of a dream. So either we discount the context, or we take more seriously how God would deal with a man in his dreams. I'm not proposing some new dream doctrine here. I'm not trying to make it anything more than it is. But the Word of God is so filled with context, with scripture, of God dealing with people in their dreams, Old and New Testament. Somebody, I remember, asked the question one time, why isn't it that we see more experiences with angels? Or why isn't it, you know, we could say the same thing about dreams. And the answer came from the elder. Well, I suppose it's because we have the Holy Ghost. Okay. I just want to pitch that in there. Where was I? Did you turn the computer off? Oh. Okay. Thy seed shall be the dust of the earth, and thou shalt spread abroad to the west, to the east, to the north, to the south. And in thee and in thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. And behold, I am with thee, and will keep thee in all places whither thou goest, and will bring thee again into this land, for I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken to thee of. Okay, so watch this. And Jacob awaked out of his sleep. He's still sleeping. In his dream, while he's sleeping, the Lord has just told him, I will not leave you until I have done all that I have spoken to thee of. Jacob awaked out of his sleep and he said, surely the Lord is in this place and I knew it not. I just laid down here because it looked like a good place and went to sleep and God was here. Is that what he's saying? Okay. Did Jacob, I'm just telling you what I had typed in here. Did Jacob imagine that all this happened? Do you come out of a dream, shake yourself? Well, that was good thoughts. Verse 17, and he was afraid and said, how dreadful is this place? This is none other but the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. Jacob rose up early in the morning, took the stone that he had put for his pillows, set it up for a pillar, poured oil on the top of it. He called the name of that place Bethel, but the name of that city was called Luz at the first. And Jacob vowed a vow, saying, if God will be with me and will keep me in this way that I go, and will give me bread to eat and raiment to put on, so that I can come again to my father's house in peace, then shall the Lord be my God. And this stone which I have set for a pillar shall be God's house. And all that thou shalt give me, I will surely give the tenth unto thee. The supplanter, the guy that went to sleep, a conniver and a deceiver, woke up having had a dream and God talking to him in that dream and made an about face and set new course and new direction in his life and new commitments. Maybe we all need to have a dream tonight. I think that's pretty good. Now, let this be your last thought tonight as you lay your head to the pillow. Maybe this will be the night. Genesis 31 at verse 11. The angel of God spake unto me in a dream, saying, Jacob, and I said, here am I. He's communicating with Rachel and Leah. He's gone, went through this whole 7 years for Rachel, or for Leah, thought it was Rachel, 7 years for Rachel, and that, now he's sticking around and working more years for I think it's 6 more years to get paid. The angel of God spake unto me in a dream, saying, Jacob, and I said, here am I. And he said, lift up now thine eyes and see. All the rams which leap upon the cattle are ringstraked, speckled and gristled. For I have seen all that Laban doeth unto thee. I am the God of Bethel, where thou anointest the pillar, and where thou vowedest a vow unto me. Now arise, get thee out from this land, and return unto the land of thy kindred. I find it so interesting that God is now referencing with him that night that was more than a dream, but it happened within a dream, and brought such change and course and direction for his life. You understand that the deal was between he and Laban. Jacob said, okay, look, I'll just take all the weird cows. Speckled, ring-striked, the leftovers. And everything that is born natural and good and, the way you want them is, they'll be yours. And so all of a sudden, all the cows that are being born, they're all weird and speckled and all this. And so they're all being tossed into Jacob's deal. It didn't matter at this point what the deal was. The ones with blue stripes around their ankles when they're born will be mine. According to what the angel just said, I thought it said, I know that I read it, the angel of the Lord had spoken unto him and said, where did I just read that? Oh, the angel of God spake unto me in a dream, the angel of God spoke to me in a dream, saying, and then he says, I am, here's what's interesting, you know this. There's times when it says the angel of God, where it speaks of a human form being present. And as we read down, verse 13 says, I am the God of Bethel. And so the angel also can be a manifestation of God to an individual, all right? Where, and so he's saying, I am the God of Bethel, where thou anointest the pillar and where thou vowedest a vow unto me, arise, on and on. Verse 24, now the Lord gives Laban a dream. God came to Laban the Syrian in a dream by night and said unto him, take heed that thou speak not to Jacob either good or bad. Let's go to Genesis, the 37th chapter. Don't you find it interesting that all these people are having dreams? Or that the Lord is speaking to them in a dream? Just make a note of it here, okay? Verses 37 and 3. Now Israel loved Joseph more than all his children because he was the son of his old age. He made him a coat of many colors. When his brethren saw that their father loved him more than all his brethren, they hated him, could not speak peaceably unto him. And Joseph dreamed a dream. He told it his brethren, and they hated him the more. Fast forward, he's in prison. The baker and the butler have a dream. Genesis 40 and 5, they dreamed a dream, both of them, each man his dream in one night, each man according to the interpretation of his dream, the butler and the baker of the king of Egypt, which were bound in the prison. I don't know why I'm teaching this. I'm only, you know, I'm just reading to you scriptures. I'm just talking to you and showing a pattern. I'm not making a suggestion to you. But whatever your future holds or whatever you can look back on in inspirations that have come to you, I don't know. That's between you and God. Genesis 41 and 1. It came to pass at the end of 2 full years that Pharaoh dreamed. Behold, he stood by the river. Behold, there came up out of the river 7 kine, well-favored, fat-fleshed, and they fed in a meadow. Verse 5, he slept and dreamed the second time. Behold, 7 ears of corn came up out of the stalk, rank and good. Verse 41, Joseph interprets the dream. Genesis 41 and 32. And for that the dream was doubled unto Pharaoh twice, it is because the thing is established by God. And God will shortly bring it to pass. Okay. Now let's go to the book of Deuteronomy chapter 13. At verse 1, Deuteronomy 13 and 1. If there arise among you a prophet or a dreamer of dreams, and giveth thee a sign or a wonder, and the sign or the wonder come to pass, whereof he spake unto thee, saying, let us go after other gods, which thou hast not known, and let us serve them. Thou shalt not hearken unto the words of that prophet, or that dreamer of dreams. Now, the Bible discloses to us many situations and circumstances surrounded by dreams. Not all of them was positive. Not all of them are about God speaking to individuals. I want it to be clear. But yet there is a warning in the Word of God of those that would come sharing supernatural events through visions, dreams, and prophecies. But he gives us a qualifier. If they tell you to go after some other god than what you have already known, don't listen to them. Okay? Thou shalt not hearken unto the words of that prophet, three, or the dreamer of dreams, for the Lord your God proveth you to know whether you love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. You shall walk after the Lord your God and fear him and keep his commandments and obey his voice. You shall serve him and cleave unto him. Verse 5, and that prophet or that dreamer of dreams shall be put to death because he hath spoken to turn you away from the Lord your God, which brought you out of the land of Egypt and redeemed you out of the house of bondage to thrust thee out of the way which the Lord thy God commanded thee to walk in. Oh boy. There's a lot of voices. There's a lot of anointings. And there's a lot of ministries that are on the rise. Popularity. But they're taking a different way. No, it's not like the old way. That's an old-fashioned way. It's got the same qualifiers. One question. Prophet, let me ask you one question, prophet. Tell me what the plan of redemption is. Well, it's just trusting the Lord with all your heart. Receive him. Receive the Son of God. That's it? Okay. Doesn't matter the supernatural, doesn't matter the events, doesn't matter the size of the crowd. The qualifiers have always been the same. Are they leading you to the mighty God in Christ Jesus or to somebody else? Okay. Help me stay on task here. Where am I at? 5, 6. If thy brother, listen to this. We're in the same chapter. We're in the same context. If thy brother, the son of thy mother, or thy son, or thy daughter, or the wife of thy bosom, or thy friend, which is as thine own soul, entice thee secretly, saying, let us go and serve other gods, which thou hast not known, thou nor thy fathers, namely of the gods of the people which are round about you. Well, let me tell you what the other guys are doing. Oh, yeah, man, they're getting good responses. Big crowds, hundreds, thousands. Well, you know, they're lifting up the name of Jesus. Namely, of the gods of the people which are around about you, nigh unto thee, so far off from thee, from the one end of the earth, even to the other end of the earth. Thou shalt not consent unto him, nor hearken unto him, neither shalt thou thine eye pity him, neither shalt thou spare, neither shalt thou conceal. But thou shalt surely kill him. This is Old Testament law. Thine hand shall be first upon him to put him to death, and afterwards the hand of all the people. It's a severe subject. Book of Judges. If you got time, you want to stay. Judges chapter 7, verse 12. And the Midianites and the Amalekites and all the children of the east lay along in the valley like grasshoppers for multitude. Their camels were without number as the sand by the seaside for multitude. When Gideon was come, behold, There was a man that told a dream unto his fellow and said, behold, I dreamed a dream. And lo, a cake of barley bread tumbled into the host of Midian and came into a tent and smote it that it fell and overturned it that the tent lay along. And his fellow answered and said, this is nothing else save the sword of Gideon, the son of Joash, a man of Israel, for into his hand hath God delivered Midian and all the host. And it was so when Gideon heard the telling of the dream and the interpretation thereof, that he worshipped and returned into the host of Israel and said, arise, for the Lord hath delivered you into the hand of the host of Midian. He's still using dreams. He gave the enemy a little nightmare. It's not my idea. I'm only reading. I'm not the author. He is. Oh, God, give him a dream. I can't face it anymore. I don't know how to deal with this. This thing is out of my control. Give him a dream, Lord. I don't know. Anything wrong with that? I didn't say give him a nightmare. People sometimes are more responsive to a dream than they are your advice. They'll receive it as it's from God. I'm only discussing the topic here. Okay. 1 Kings 3, verse 5. In Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night. And God said, ask what I shall give thee. Now, we all remember that. We all remember the Lord asking Solomon, you know, what should I give you? What would you want? What we don't remember was this all took place in the context of a dream. I don't know why this is also illuminated to me tonight, but there's so much of it in the scripture. I had 12 pages of just text. Let's go to the book of Job, chapter 33. I'm going to read it in the NLT, New Living Translation. Job chapter 33, verse 12. But you are wrong, and I will show you why. For God is greater than any human being. So why are you bringing a charge against him? Why say he does not respond to people's complaints? For God speaks again and again, though people do not recognize it. He speaks in dreams, in visions of the night, when deep sleep falls on people and they lie in their beds. He whispers in their ears and terrifies them with warnings. He makes them turn from doing wrong. I should have read that text first. Rest my case. He'll use it to help people and turn them from wrong direction. He keeps them from pride. He protects them from the grave, from crossing over the river of death. Oh, man, I had a dream last night. I'm going to quit smoking. Had that dream when I was 22. I'm going to quit drinking. I'm going to quit driving. Oh. Just saying. Pray for your loved ones. Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. Jeremiah 23. We have another scripture here about false dreamers. At verse 25, Jeremiah 23 and 25, I have heard what the prophets said, that prophesy lies in my name, saying, I have dreamed. How long shall this be in the heart of the prophets that prophesy lies? Yea, they are prophets of the deceit of their own heart, which think to cause my people to forget my name by their dreams. Wow, that's similar to what we read earlier, isn't it? To cause my people to forget my name by their dreams, which they tell every man to his neighbor. I have known people to have woke from a dream and walk away from the doctrine that they had stood upon all their lives. Okay. Let's go to Matthew chapter 1, verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, when as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. We can quickly reference and remember these conversations between an angel and Joseph. It's the context of that it took place. Okay. Matthew chapter 2 at verse 10. Wise men, when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. When they had departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, Arise and take the young child and his mother and flee into Egypt and be thou there until I bring thee word. For Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. God give you wisdom as you wake out of your bed. God give you wisdom. Matthew 27, Pilate's wife. Verse 17, therefore, when they were gathered together, Pilate said unto them, you remember who Pilate was? Jesus was standing before him being judged. Therefore, when they came, they were gathered together, Pilate said unto them, Whom will you that I release unto you, Barabbas or Jesus, which is called Christ? For he knew that for envy they had delivered him. When he was set down on the judgment seat, his wife sent unto him, saying, Have thou nothing to do with that just man, for I have suffered many things this day in a dream because of him. Acts chapter 2. Verse 17, and I'm finishing with this. And it shall come to pass in the last day, saith God, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Why is it that that would be prophesied? Why was it that that would be made clear unto the people of God when the Holy Ghost was being outpoured unto them and the church was being established? I don't have the answer. I'm asking the question. Was it casual conversation at this point? Would it be casual conversation? No. He said, your young men shall have visions. That's the same as a dream in the daytime. And your old men shall dream dreams. young men and old men will experience things that are from God. Is that correct? He's not saying it as a warning. Oh, my Lord, everybody's going to start having dreams. But that takes place, and that has its place. I'm arrested in my spirit to communicate this to you. I took faith in the morning, coming out of this word, beginning to pray for those that I'm deeply concerned for, that God would cause their direction to turn. Would you stand with me? Let's pray. Lord, we submit ourselves unto you today. We submit ourselves unto you, Father. Let this word find a deep lodging place in our heart. Let the Spirit of God arrest every one of us here tonight, Lord, to be sensitive and to be waiting upon you and to lead us in our time of prayer, in our time of fellowship and communion with you, Lord. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Most times, God used dreams to spare people from trouble or to accept what his will was for them as an affirmation, as an affirming. It wasn't about new revelations. Okay? And we come out of situations like that, filtering everything through the Word of God as we know it. Amen. That's our safety. It's the logos. It's the spoken. It's the written, not the rhema. Amen. Go home and go to sleep. God bless you in Jesus' name.